Praise God. His name shall be praised. I found the God of Israel, God of Jacob too. I found the God in the lion's den. Amen. Took old Daniel through. That's one of our messages going to be about tonight in the lion's den with him. So we just thank God. Amen. Just thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. Thank God for being a faithful God. And thank God that he's a keeper. How many of you have that testimony? That our God is a keeper. Can we say praise the Lord? So truly we thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. Amen. Thank God for Sister Billings. They walk in on a Wednesday. Amen. Two services in a row. She might be starting something. Amen. When we do bless the Lord, we just thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. And we do want to continue to pray for those that right now are suffering as a result of the hurricane that went through the Bahamas as well as down south. We did get a request from our presiding bishop that the churches over in the Bahamas were decimated. None of the lives were lost to this point, but people lost almost everything. So they're asking all of the church members if they can just send in a donation. Amen. Just to help out.
Amen. I forgot to put this request in again, but Sister Duratia, the young lady from RPI that comes here, that's from Ohio, her sister was, John Tasha, was in that car accident.
Okay.
She is going back to Ohio to see her because the sister suffered a brain injury. And she's in and out of a like comatose type of a situation. And so she's still in the hospital, and they said she's not in a coma, but the damage that has been done to her brain, they're waiting to see, you know, how bad it's going to actually be.
Amen. So, let's stand and say a prayer right now. Amen. We've seen God do it before, and they say he can do it again. And we say, praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to all touch and agree. For the scripture says, if two or three of us agree on any man on earth, we shall be established in heaven. Let's believe God for healing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up John Tasha and Abraham. Lord, you are God is able. Lord, you're able in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, that right now we pray in your precious name. Lord, whatever the condition is going on in our brain, Lord, we ask you for the working of miracles. Lord, we believe even as the woman that had the issue of blood. Lord, all we have to do is reach out and touch. Right now, Lord, as a congregation, we're touching and agreeing. And Lord, we believe in you to perform a miracle. Even now, Lord, give her a testimony of victory. And Lord, our expectation is that you will move according to our prayer and according to our faith. Lord, we say, so let it be done. We all say in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. While y'all are standing, we might want to go ahead and read our scripture. Amen. And we're going to continue our study from on Sunday. It says, God will deliver the godly. Amen. Who will deliver the godly? God will deliver the godly. And not only will God deliver, he will also bless him. Amen. Do you see that? Just give. Sorry. That ain't it. I'll put it over there. Y'all see it? That one, yes. Yeah, that's it. That's what happens when you take a week off of church when you get back. You know? Amen. Amen. So it says, God will deliver the what? Godly. And you know, tonight, in this day and age, people are trying to get deliverance every way but through God. That's just impossible. Right? God will deliver the God. And you know, a lot of times we say, well, God delivered me, but I'm in a worse, almost horrible condition. When God delivers you, he also blesses you. Amen? So many times we think we have deliverance, we have not yet been delivered. Can we say praise the Lord? So we're going to read from 2 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9 again. Amen? It says, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the God judges ungodliness, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just like vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. The Lord knoweth how. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're godly? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said, word of the Lord is blessed already. Amen. You may be seated. There's probably, I could have taken different directions to teach this, but we're going to focus mostly on Daniel. But we're living in a day and age where people are seeking help from everyone, but the true source of help is God. Our true source of deliverance comes from God. Amen. And as I said on Sunday, the world has exerted pressure on the saints to make us seek our deliverance come through the world. The world cannot deliver you. Amen. The world can only bring trouble. The Bible says that if we love the world, then we can't have the love of God in our heart. And if we love the world, we're enemies of God. So the church, many in church are mixing the world and church together and then trying to figure out why has my situation changed. Because God delivers the what? God. You cannot be godly and worldly and think God's going to deliver you. You can't really say praise the Lord. So Psalm 34, I'm going to read verses 7 and then 7 through 19. You all have these right on your notes. So verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord does what? Encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now listen, it says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that what? Fear him. So this is not just an all angel. Because we're told in the scripture to fear God, and him only shall we serve. So this has to be an actual God himself that will deliver us. The righteous cry, verse 17, and the Lord what? So God delivered Lot because he was righteous. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of. Lord, we bless your name. You live righteous. You live godly. He will deliver you. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't know who told you when you get saved, everything is going to be peaches and cream. Right? He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But when you live in righteous, God will do what? Deliver him out of them all. Amen. So we're dealing with deliverance. All of us need some type of deliverance. Don't sell out. The world can't help you. Amen. The world can't deliver you. Amen. Only God can deliver. So we all know Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the fire. But I want to focus tonight on Daniel, because Daniel has some qualities that the scripture only ascribes to Daniel in the whole Bible. I highlighted some of them, but there are so many of them when it comes to Daniel and his integrity and his righteousness. Integrity and righteousness. God bragged on Job. He said, there's none like him in all the earth. Right? We're talking about integrity. Now, integrity is not what man sees. Integrity is what God sees. Right? So many times we try to put on an impression to impress others. Your integrity is what God sees. Amen? So we're going to go to Daniel. We're going to start in the sixth chapter of Daniel. Now, as I said on Sunday concerning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, The enemy bound them, but God freed them. Right? So this is what we have to understand. Listen, God may allow us to be in a situation, but rest assured, stay committed to God. And God will deliver you. So now, when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, they were bound hand and feet. That's why the men had to throw them in, because they couldn't go in by themselves. They couldn't push them in. But when they got in the fire, God loosed everything the enemy put on them. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Then when he loosed them, he said, then you can get up and walk around in the fire. And the pass of, and the herd of the smell of fire didn't even pass on to them, because the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that what? Fear him. So we're living in a time where people are compromising because they don't feel as though God is moving like they think he should move. Amen. We should never get to the point where we question God. God allows us to go through tests only to see what is our reaction to the tests. God never intends for the test to overthrow the saints. But what happens is when the saints get a test and they don't have the true trust and confidence in God, they compromise. Right? When you compromise, if you do a little worldliness, that's a compromise. Stay godly. Because the scripture says the Lord delivereth the who? Godly. Amen. So we're going to go through Daniel. We'll never finish it this week, but we'll go as far as we can. Amen. I didn't even finish it. And I got 50-something pages, and you all got, what, 14 or 16 pages, right? And I still have a lot more to add to that, right? Because I want us to learn to glean from Scripture, right? We need to learn to glean from Scripture. Then our time of testing, we need to apply what we've heard. Amen? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we need to let the Word find a lodging place in our hearts. So in our time of testing, our automatic default will be the Word of God. Saints of God should never be tempted to lean towards the world or sin. We should automatically lean towards God. No matter how bad the situation is, we should always lean towards God. Amen? So verse 1 said, it pleased Darius, Daniel 6 verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Now, prior to this, in the whole fifth chapter is dealing with Belshazzar, and this is when you see a hand that starts writing on the wall, just a hand. He was drunk, but when that hand started writing, he wasn't drunk anymore. Right. So, that's right, God sobered him up. When that hand started writing, he's like, oh, something's going on here. So when he called Daniel, at that time he was Belshazzar, and he interpreted the writing that was on the wall. And when he interpreted the writing that was on the wall, Daniel told him, he said, this night your kingdom shall be taken. So they elevated Daniel to be third in the whole kingdom of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. So he was in a place of royalty. I'm going to show you how God can keep you even when he takes on everybody else. So when Darius came in, everything that was royal, he destroyed. Right? Everything associated with Nebuchadnezzar, but Daniel. Right? Because Daniel, if you read it in the fifth chapter, he gave him a purple robe. He elevated him, so he was in the same status as the rest of the leaders in Babylon, but God did not allow the enemy to touch Daniel, and we'll find out why, all right? So verse 2 says, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, this means he was chief, he was number one, all right? So Darius, he set up his kingdom. He has 120 princes, and then he has three. But then he said, out of the three, I'm going to make one over everything. All right, so he would have been second only to who? Darius, okay? That the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred. Now, I only highlighted some of it. If you have your spare time, just use your interlinear strong concordance and just see all of the one times it applies just to Daniel to show you how he was so different from everybody else. All right? It says that preferred is the Aramaic word nechat. It is only used one time pertaining to Daniel. It means he was distinguished above. He had no comparison. This is why God blessed him. He had no comparison. Amen. An Aramaic verb meaning to exhibit or to show a difference. He distinguished himself. When one is distinguished, he is identified as different and distinct. Above the prince, so he preferred him above the princes and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And this excellent spirit is the word yeter. It's used 8 times, but only when pertaining to Daniel. He had what kind of spirit? Excellent spirit. And because of his spirit, it wasn't because of anything else but his spirit. God blessed a broken and what kind of spirit? Contrite spirit. Right? He had the right spirit, so God blessed him. Many times we seek deliverance, we seek God's blessing, but our spirit is wrong. Right? So if we get our spirit right, then God blesses, right? Because the scripture said, God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the problem with the church is the church gets weary in well-doing. You ever have people say, I'm tired of being walked on, I'm tired of doing the right thing, what good has it done? So I'm going to do just like everybody else. Don't get weary in well-doing. Because God knows how to deliver the copy. Amen. So he had an excellent spirit. And excellent is the Aramaic word yeter. It means it's an adjective designating something as excellent, outstanding, superior. Amen? Yeter teaches us that Daniel had an impeccable reputation and character. Impeccable of behavior, performance, or appearance in accordance with the highest standards of propriety, faultless. In other words, he was truthful. Amen. When Darius saw Daniel, he said, listen, there is nobody else in this whole kingdom like you. Not only do you have a good reputation, but your spirit is right. Right? God blesses a contrite spirit. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Reputation is what men think you are, while character is what God knows about you. Don't you want to have a godly character? Amen. The book of Revelation talks about them in Sardis. They had a good reputation with men. But God said, in my eyes, I have not found your works perfect. In other words, their character was a challenge. So he said, you are the church of the living dead. We don't want to be living dead. Amen. We want our character to align with our reputation so God can bless us. And the church said, praise the Lord. There it is. Recognized that Daniel was a rare jewel, a man of integrity among a crooked and perverse generation. And we know that Paul, I'm just using some scriptural references, right? He was in a crooked and perverse generation. How many know we live in a crooked and perverse generation? If ever there was a time when this world is messed up, the world is messed up. But this is what the scripture says. Now, no matter how bad your situation, for it is God. Which does what? Worketh in you. Lord, I don't understand why God is working in you. Now, when God works in you, he works some things in you, and he works some things out of you. Do you understand? So we always expect things to go well. God says, no, I see some stuff in you that needs to come out. That's why the psalm said, keep back thy servant from secret faults. There's some stuff in us that we don't understand, amen? For it is God which worketh in you both to what? Will and to do of his good pleasure. So this is where he said, God is working a thing in you, so do all things without murmuring. Why? God is working in you. Amen? So if God is working in you, he said, do all things without murmuring and without disputing, that you may be. The moment you start complaining and murmuring, you take all the blame, you don't become blameless. Right? Because the Bible says with many of them, they were overthrown in the wilderness because God was not well pleased with them because they murmured and complained. Right? So the minute we start murmuring and complaining, we show an ungodly character. So that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without what? Rebuke in midst of it. We're in the crooked and perverse generation. Right? But we have to live right. Can we say thank you, Jesus? He said, among whom ye shine as light in the world. So the world can be all messed up, but we're lights. And I didn't finish it all, but it should be Matthew 5:16. I got to know y'all only got five. But we know that scripture says, let your light so shine before who? Men. Who? Men, so they may see your good works. And when they see what you're doing, they're going to do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. It has been said that integrity is the first step to true greatness. Integrity. That's the real you. All right. We'll find out a little later what's the real you. Is the real you when you're in church and around the saints? Absolutely not. Is the real you when people are watching you? Absolutely not. The real you is when nobody's watching you to sing. That's what integrity is, all right? A person of integrity is living rightly, not divided, nor being a different person in different circumstances. We talk about what now? Integrity. So if you're integrity, when things are bad, you still have integrity. When things are good, you still have integrity. Your attitude, your spirit does not change subject to your conditions because of your integrity. If you change when things change, then you have to question your integrity. Amen? A person of integrity is the same person in private that he or she is in public. Amen? I don't know. We haven't heard it here. Have you heard people say, they live one way in church, but they don't live like that at home? Right? That means the integrity is a question. Because that way, y'all, I said I'm talking about y'all, so come on, yeah, everybody talking to me. Right? I ain't talking about you. That's an issue. Right. So when a person lives one way around saints and get home and they're the worst, most evil, corrupt person there is, that's not integrity. That's not godly. God won't bless that. Say, well, if you went on to what I went on to, listen, just live godly. Even when you go home, God knows how to what? To deliver you. Amen? Integrity has the same root word as does the word integrated. A person of integrity has taken the principles that govern life, internalized them, and integrated them into every area of his life. Integrity is what you get, right? Lord, if I don't want to be in church one way and be at home a different way. I don't want to be around the saints one way and be in my job and be a different way. I don't want to be a certain way in church and then go out in public and be a different way. That is not integrity, amen? Integrity is consistency and harmony between what you verbalize or what you say and how you live. True integrity is how you live, is when how you live matches what you say. What kind of integrity? True integrity. In other words, you don't say one thing and do another. But when you have true integrity, your words match your lifestyle. Amen. Paul said, what good does it do if I preach to others and I myself become a castaway? In other words, Paul said, I can't preach one thing and do another. My life has to match up with what I preach. Because if my life don't match up with what I preach, then I become a castaway. A castaway means I'm unprofitable for the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus warned his disciples against talking one way and living a different way. Jesus taught his disciples that hypocrisy is when how you live doesn't match how you talk. In the whole 23rd chapter is dealing with the Pharisees, the scribes, and hypocrites. The whole 23rd chapter. Listen, Jesus spent a whole chapter dealing with those who say one thing and live another. A whole chapter. He deals with integrity and not being truthful. But we're going to only highlight portions of it, okay? So Matthew 23, verse 1 said, "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they and do not." In other words, their talk does not match their walk. They're saying one thing in person, but behind the scenes they're living a whole different way. I read the story of not that I want to bring out the negative, but it was in the newspaper, so it's not private. If it's in the paper, then everybody knows it. Of a Catholic priest. Now, how many know when you're a priest, the Catholic priest takes a vow of celibacy? Amen. So this Catholic priest met up with a woman. The only reason they came out is because now for a year, all of these that have committed sexual crimes against kids, for years have a year that they can bring them to court on it. And what was this priest had met this lady that she was, she was a single parent and raising children. So he wanted to help her. So he went and bought her this very nice house in this gated home. So he had to be let in and let out. So what he did for years, now he was supposed to be a celibate priest. What he did for years is he would come home, he had a signal. All he would do was flash the high beams. They wouldn't come out, they would just open the gate and let him in. But he was living all these years as a married priest. But he was cohabiting. And Paul says, and I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's good that a man not touch a woman. That means don't cohabiting. All right, that's just poor interpretation. But you know, if you're not married, then you don't live together. That's the scripture what it means. So this is what he was doing. So he was presenting one way in church, but living a whole different way in pride. So all four of those children have now pressed lawsuits against him for being abused for all those years. Like, that's sad. That's sad. A priest, a man of God, someone that's taking a vow not only for celibacy, but a vow to live a chaste life before God. Amen. When your life does not match your, when your walk does not match your talk, be assured of this, Paul. Moses told the children of Israel, your what? Sin will find you out. Amen. So they say and they do not. Verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be what? Seen of men. That is not integrity. That is not character. That's just a showy thing. Amen? They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now you all can read it between, let's just get down to the 27 first. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He calls them what? Hypocrites. For ye are like unto the whitest sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Right, so we're dealing with, in truth and integrity is your walk matches your talk. Amen. So this is something that we have to decide for ourselves. How are you when you're in private? How are you when you're around family members? How are you when you're around friends? How are you in the community? Right? You don't be holy and praising the Lord in church and go home with a bad, nasty attitude because things aren't right. That's not integrity. God can't deliver that. Can we say praise the Lord? Y'all can get quiet. Come on in and love me. Shut up, talk to me. All right? The essence of integrity is to be on the inside what we appear to be on the outside. Secret indulgences undermine integrity. A person of integrity has the same public and private behavior. Integrity is what you do when you're unaware that anyone is watching and listening to you. Amen? So if you say something because you don't think somebody sees or hears you, and it's not a true representation of who you are, that's not integrity. So what you say, you know, I've dealt with certain people, they say, well, you should say that. I say, if I'm going to say it in your face, I say it behind your back. Right? Because I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Right? We as people of God need to learn to be truthful. Don't tell people something in their face and once you get behind their back, you can't work and just run them down. That is not integrity. Paul said, beware of saints that we don't bite and devour one another. That destroys a church. Amen. Our position in church is we want to build one another up. This is all the qualities that Daniel had. That's why Daniel said, listen, beside me, I want to make you number one in my kingdom. You have an excellent spirit and you have true integrity. Amen. Integrity is what you do when you are unaware that anyone is watching you and listening to you. Integrity is who we are on the inside. The same person with integrity is a person whose heart is set on loving and obeying God. No matter, Daniel said, I'm going to obey God. No matter what the cost. When man plays something that he couldn't do, Daniel said, I'm going to obey God. Amen? So the big question is, who are you when... Amen. That's all. That's us. Who are we when nobody's looking? Who are we when nobody listening? Now I know a lot. Some of y'all know Facebook and different things and have texting, right? So you can text and stuff on the private. So when it's Facebook, you do private, right? Or something like that. Even pay Facebook. Whatever. Yeah. I'm saying, but if you can't do it in public, then guess what? Should do it in private. Right? Because guess what? He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. So God sees and hears everything. You know, when we were kids, I know we had pink lantern and we had all our own way of talking so we could disguise what we were doing, meaning we were mischievous, up to no good. Guess what? There ain't no language we can write that God don't understand. You all with me? God understands all of it. Right, we had a whole lot. I can still remember some of them. Just me and my guy friend, we just used to do it because we didn't like talking like everybody else, so we made them up. But guess what? God knew what it was. Right, we cannot go in private chats, or private, and be ungodly. Amen. So you text. Your texting cannot be ungodly. Right? And it's so bad today, they've gone from texting to sexting. That's just ungodly. Even saints are sending inappropriate, ungodly stuff. That's not integrity. That's not living right. Amen? All right, let me keep going because y'all get quiet. All right. It says, then the president and princes sought to find occasion. People don't like when you mess with their social media. But social media has destroyed more lives than anything. Our president needs to get off that social media stuff. Because listen, I was dealing with a situation last week. It was a business situation. I said, don't text me, don't email me, call me. Because when you text and email, people can get confused by what you're writing or saying. Amen? So when you have serious matters, don't text and email. Because then you got to go clear that up later. And I said, besides this, I was dealing with a business person. I said, texting and emailing is a coward's way out. I'm not a coward, so talk to me. Right? So when you have to, you know, and this is what a lot of saints do today. I don't want to really talk about somebody. Text them. No, don't text. Call. Important matters, you don't want to text. Because how many know something can get lost in a text? Something can get lost in the email. So when it's a serious, important matter, it's better to call. Amen? All right, y'all don't have to agree, but I'm just telling you, that's how I am. If it's important, y'all gotta tell me, call me. Cause I mean, look at, sometimes somebody texts me, I don't see it till the next day. Cause I don't live on my phone. Especially when I found out about 5G and I'm bad there for you. So somebody called me and said, did you get my text? I said, when did you see it? They said, yesterday. I said, well, you should have called me for something important. I don't look at texts. And then they called and said, well, did you get the email? I don't look at emails either. Honestly, I used to have when texting, when you get a text and email, you used to have those alarms that you used to go off. I turned that thing off. God. What in the world? I turned that thing off. So listen, most of the time, if y'all got something important, please call me. All right? I'm on my way to the hospital. Text. Don't text me. Call me. Because I don't see no text, honestly. And my wife would pick up my phone. She'd say, did you see such and such? I was like, no. Because I don't live on my phone. Right? I don't live on that. But anyway, I'm saying, we need to learn to handle our business appropriately because we are saints. God calls us to the, can we say the highest standard? Come on, God holds us to the highest standard. Amen. It says, then the presidents and princes, verse 4, sought to find occasion. And it's only used two times, this occasion or fault. And it's used here in Daniel 6:4 and 6:5. Now I'm just saying, there's so many others. These things only apply to Daniel. That's why I said I want to highlight him as an individual of integrity and his character. Because there are words that only apply to Daniel. There are words that are found only in the book of Daniel about Daniel. Right? And we want to find out. There are two angels that are mentioned. We won't get to it this week. They're only mentioned in the book of Daniel, which I didn't know. Michael and Gabriel mentioned in no other books in the Old Testament. They are mentioned in Luke 1 and Jude 1 and also in Revelation. Amen. But in the Old Testament, Michael and Gabriel are only mentioned in the book of Daniel. Right? So there's some qualities. There's something in Daniel that brings out the best of God. So that's why we want to highlight this, all right? We'll probably get to that, Lord willing, next week if I do more reading and less talking. It says, find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. Amen. This is, once again, only used two times with Daniel. For as much as he was faithful. And that's the Arabic word used only for Daniel. Three times. Do you understand how rare Daniel was? Three times for Daniel. Daniel 2:45, Daniel 6:4, and Daniel 6:23. Neither was there any error of fault. Only used two times. Daniel was a rare character, rare individual. And as I said, what you do, if you want to find out how many times the word is used, go to your interlinear part. I use a blue letter Bible, and I also use Bible Study Light and some other Bibles. But when you go to me, you highlight and look those words up, they'll tell you how many times that word is used and where they found that. I'm like, wow, Daniel was a rare individual. This is just some of them. There's so many times where it's only used once or twice in regards to Daniel. And then only Gabriel and Michael only appeared to Daniel. And every time Gabriel shows up on the scene, I believe he's always fighting a spiritual battle. Always fighting a spiritual battle, all right? So that's important to know too. So verse 5 said, then said these wise men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his. That's a testimony, right? When your life is so impeccable, when your reputation and character is so great, they said, the only way we're going to find fault, we got to find something in the law of his God that's violating what we believe. That was the only fault they could find in God. Isn't that a testimony? Isn't that a witness? Only against his law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All right? So the commissioner and satrap, is what they call them, is a group of about 122 men. Now this is going to find out what happened when they assembled. They didn't just come in an orderly manner. All right? this is what, when they came to him, okay? Say, 122 men, which may well have impressed King Darius when they made their appeal, but Darius failed to notice that the most important and number one person in the whole group was missing. That was who? Daniel. So when they all came to put this decree before Darius, Daniel was missing. If Darius had been mentally alert, he should have said, wait a minute, how are y'all coming without the number one man? I'm going to show you why he missed him when we get down a little further, okay? This should have struck a chord with Darius because his number one and most faithful satrap was absent. As a believer, perhaps in a completely pagan environment, have you ever felt like everyone was opposed to you? Remember that you plus God is always, always. You don't have to compromise. You and God are always. Because you and God is always a majority, regardless of the numbers arrayed against you. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Moses dealt with the children of Israel. He said, listen, don't look at the enemy, because one of you will put 1,000 to flight, and two will put what? 10,000. So if every time you had another person, you increase it exponentially by 10,000, then three will put 100,000. Four will put 1,000,000. You ain't going too much higher than that. Get up into the billions and the trillions and the zillions, right? Just like 10 of us, you and God are always the majority. So don't lose sight of that. So when everything seems like it's coming against you, stay true to God. Stay faithful. Stay committed. Stay godly. Do not compromise. All right? It said they assembled together or came by agreement. There was clearly a plot, but not an orderly one. All right? So this is when they came together. This is what this means. The Aramaic verb, reyes, primarily signifies to be in a tumult, to be restless, to be turbulent, to assemble in a throng, so that the picture is conveyed is that of a mob scene. So this is how they came. All 122 of these men just rushed Darius. Darius was called completely off guard, right? So he couldn't make the right decision because everything was out of order. There was a whole lot of confusion. And we know that God is not the author of confusion, okay? So it says, radical rousers comes to mind. The Aramaic word for by agreement is regesh, which is complete, which is closely related to the Hebrew word regesh, which means to be in commotion or raged against. And this word is used in Psalms 2, verses 1 and 2. It's why do the heathens regesh? All right, why are they in a commotion? Why do the heathen conspire? Saints of God, listen, when God is blessing you, the heathen does not like that. God was blessing Daniel, the heathen didn't like that. So they go into a conspiracy. They go into a tumult. They cause commotions, all right? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against what? The Lord and his anointed, saying, why are the nations in the uproar? It's a question, all right? Why are they in an uproar? Why are they in a regash? Why are they rushing in like this to the king? The people are devising a vain thing. Regash denotes the uproar and plotting of the wicked against the righteous. So these men came rushing at King Darius, 122 of them. They said, oh, great king, we have all agreed, but they lied because Daniel wasn't there. Right? So they already started wrong, all right? So keep that in mind. Think of the picture of a lynch mob gathering together to meet out their brand of justice. Notice that in Psalms 2, that the wicked are coming against who? The Lord and his Messiah. These men actually caught the king off guard as he was suddenly inundated by a large group of schemers. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal decree. Is that true? No. Because who wasn't there? Daniel had no idea what they were doing. But God still knows how to deliver God. That's why we say, God, keep us from seeing as well as Minister Simon found out, right? Seeing as well as just living God. No matter what they are plotting or not, God will make a way for you to escape. Amen. It says, consulting together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. This is an ungodly, manipulative conspiracy and a blatant lie because Daniel had not been consulted. We know because Daniel would have never approved of this 30-day law calling for a petition of a man in the face of God. They are simply massaging the king's ego as part of their plot to manipulate him. These wicked men tricked Darius into passing a 30-day law forbidding anyone to pray except to Darius himself. In effect, they told King Darius, you're going to be God for 30 days. And he was so blind, he couldn't even see what they were doing because they came in out in a tumult. They came in with a mob, like a group of out of control. He was so taken back, he just went along with the plan. That's why they always say, when things are happening, it's too much for you, don't make a decision. Right? You have to sleep on it, rest on it, because rash decisions will get us in trouble. This rash decision got Darius in trouble. Amen? Let's skip down to this. Let's go down to verse 8. So we know the petition they were trying to make. They were scheming against Daniel because they knew Daniel wasn't going to stop praying. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? When the world will look at you and say, listen, we're going to make a petition against them because we know they're going to be faithful to God regardless. Right? So they knew Daniel wasn't going to stop praying. And they knew for sure Daniel wasn't going to pray to Darius. Amen? That's a testimony. So they said, the only way we can find fault with him against is concerning the law of his God. In other words, we can't make him violate his law, so we're going to twist his God. We're going to twist the law to make him violate the king's law. But we'll go and land, and they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not change according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Most people don't realize that establishing a decree and signing the writing that could be altered according to the law of the Medes and Persians was an act of sacrilege and a direct affront in the face of God. The law of the Medes and Persians said that their law was always right. They said their law takes precedence above God. That's an affront in the face of God. And I read, they said one account was this. If they brought a person to the king and the king said, you have to die because you're guilty. And then if they found out that he was innocent, they couldn't free him. Even an innocent person, once they made this decree, had to be killed. That is not godly. Amen? Historian Will Durant affirms the irrevocable nature of the Persian law, noting that it was a proud boast of Persia that its laws never changed, that a royal promise of decree was irrevocable. Now, this is an affront to God because we know God's law never changes. Right, so what they're now is they're pinning their law against God's law, and we'll find a little later, not only was it a law, but it was actually a worship of a false god. This is what the law of the Medes and the Persians was a worship of a false god. In this edict and judgment, the king was supposed to be inspired by the god Ahura Mazda. Anybody grab the Mazda? No, I'm only kidding. Ahura Mazda himself. Therefore, the law of the realm was the divine will, and any infraction of it was an offense against the deity. The Persians worshiped Ahura Mazda as the creator of the universe and all the things in it. So this is their Persian culture, right? They represent Sir Hero Mazda as the creator, which was an affront to God, who is the true creator. Amen? He goes on to say, as with all supreme deities, Ahura Mazda carries a long list of titles and characteristics, which I can put in there. This is a whole bunch of those. Ahura Mazda is worshipped as the supreme being in Garathan, which is another way of seeing heaven, and the uncreated spirit. Beyond a part and without him, there is nothing in that is not true. That is the biggest lie in the world. But this is what the Persians worship. So their law, the Medes and the Persians, was in honor of this false god. That's why it couldn't be altered or changed, because they say he never altered nor changed. Even if they found out they were wrong, they couldn't change. How many know that's not how God operates? Amen? Beyond, apart, and without him, there's nothing that exists. He is changeless, which means he is immutable. Who's the only one that's immutable? God. Moving all the while, not being moved by anyone. He has no equal, which is a big lie. This is what they were worshiping. This is what their law is all about. You know, so I didn't know this, so maybe you all may have known. I didn't know it was worshiping a false god, a false god system. And guess what? This false god system, they say, is still alive today in many places, even in America. Amen. When you look at a lot of these people, you realize they don't worship God. All right? I my notes are too long, so I couldn't add all that up. So anyone that's really interested, just look this up. You got the name? Look up. The worship is still promoted and alive today. A hero master. Amen. He favors the just man, upholding the truth and proper behavior. Wherefore, King Darius signed the decree, writing and the decree. These princes and princes of the king's presence, they doubtless felt that their scheme was a success, and soon Daniel would be dead. You know what they were? They were jealous, because they didn't want King Darius to make an outsider, a non-citizen, number one, behind him. So they were jealous. So they left there thinking, hey, we got him now. Daniel didn't even know anything, but when he did find out, it didn't change him, because he had true integrity and character. If our situation changes us, we have to question our integrity. We have to question our character. All right? But they failed to see that they were not attacking an ordinary man, but the servant of the Most High God, the true God. Stay true to God and be assured God will bless you. Can we say hallelujah? The law of Medes and Persians might not be subject to change, but those wicked men had yet to reckon with the mighty lawgiver, the judge of all the earth, who always does what is right. Amen. Remember when Abraham was negotiating with the angel of the Lord? He said, we find 50. He went all the way down. He said, well, God, one thing I know about you. Verse 18 says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Stay righteous. No matter what the devil brings against you, stay righteous. God is a righteous judge. That the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You do right, God will do right. Don't compromise. God has your back. And don't you compromise, no matter what's coming against you. Amen. You can be standing alone, but do right. Don't compromise. Can we say praise the Lord? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened in his chambers towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So the question is, without looking at you, know, why did Daniel do this? Daniel, but why did he do it?
He loved God.
He loved God. Well, what else did he do it?
All right. He's been doing it.
Huh?
He's been doing it. He was in the habit of doing it.
All right, so y'all can pay attention Sunday. All right, let's go. No, that's a trick question anyway. That's kind of a trick question. My wife looked at me like, what do you want us to say?
The prayer made it so stop.
Okay, good. Now you really hear the notes. That's right. All right, let's go. Well, I'm just saying, when you read, why would he pray three? What did he get three times a day for? And why was he praying with his windows open to Jerusalem?
Because of Solomon. Prayer Solomon.
Prayer Solomon. That's it. That's why he did it, right? Because let's go. We go through it. Solomon says his prayer. Let's go through this quickly because our time's coming short. Daniel knew the prayer of David in Psalms 55, 16 through 17. He said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall, that means he'll deliver me, evening, morning, and noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel was also acquainted with the prayer of David's son Solomon, and this is probably the reason he was praying towards Jerusalem. In 1 Kings 8, 29 through 30, 38, 44 through 50, and 54, actually, a whole lot. I'm just highlighting these parts, okay? Verse 29, this is Solomon's prayer. This is when he dedicates the house of God that he built. So now, the scripture is kind of interested in this. He says, Solomon built the house of the Lord for 7 years. But then he was, I think, 14 or 15 years of building his own house. he said he completed the house of the Lord in 7 years, but when you read that but, you say, well, right there, you know Solomon has some challenges, right? Because he spent 15 years, even as he built his own house, built the house of the Lord in 7. That's all right. Let's see what he prayed, right? He said, and this is when he dedicates the house of the Lord, and they bring the ark and the mercy seat and all that into the temple. He says, that thine eyes may be open toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make. What? If you can't get it here, just look here and pray towards it. Well, because at that time, we know the heavens of the heaven can't contain God, but in their mind, that was a place for God. When they went into that house, that's where the presence of God showed up, okay? Verse 30, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray towards this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive. What prayer and supplication shall be made by man or by all people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spare forth his hand toward this house. If thy people go out to battle, and this is where Daniel comes in, and their enemies, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they are were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their hearts. You see, with what? All. All God wants when you mess up, just come back with all your heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou hast given unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them away. Did Daniel get compassion? Yes, because he did what God said he did, that they may have compassion on them. And it was so. There was someone that made it in the praying, all his prayer, this prayer, and supplication of the Lord. He arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands straight up to heaven. So what did Daniel did? He kneeled and prayed what? Towards Jerusalem. And you can all read, I just didn't want to add all this. Read 2 Chronicles 6, 36 through 40, okay? Now when Daniel knew the decree, the document was signed, this was testing time for Daniel. He understood the truth that every trial in life is a test of one's character. Everything we go through is what? A test. Remember God, he said he tested Abraham, he just wanted to know what is your character. How will you honor me? Will you love anything or anyone above me? So God allows us to go through tests to see what is our reaction. Will we be obedient to his word or will we be disobedient? Amen? As a result, not only was Daniel not dissuaded from his devotion, but he even had a desire to immediately seek the face of God. Prayer is a good place to go when we find ourselves being tempted. Daniel's continual communion with the living God kept him prepared for unexpected testing. Amen. Prayer prepares us for what? Unexpected testing. Amen. That's why it says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. Right? We don't know the things that are coming. So when we pray in the Spirit, God, as we pray in the Spirit of God, we're praying to the Spirit of God that's in us, who's also searching our heart, and he knows the things that are coming our way. So when we pray in the Spirit, God makes preparation in our soul for the test that's coming our way. So why do people get overthrown? Because they don't pray. That's all it is. Because when you pray, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, which is what? Praying. So when the devil sends a temptation your way, you don't pray, you yield. When you pray, you can't yield. Because you realize the Spirit of God is in you. Can we say praise the Lord? Our prayer should be, Lord, make me like Daniel. Amen. It has been said that Daniel was not a fair-weather saint who would serve God only when personally convenient or when there was no price to pay. He was convicted that his daily relationship with God should take precedence over the will of man. Once again, he was doing what was right and trusting God for the results. Now the question is, can we do what's right and trust God for the results? Or do we try to fix our own situation? Amen. Do we trust God enough that he will fix the situation if we do what is right? Character is tested by what one does when we think no one else sees. Daniel did not pray to be seen, but he was seen when he prayed. He did not debate or hesitate. He prayed with his windows open towards Jerusalem, like he had always done. Amen? Daniel is not standing and looking out the window. He is kneeling and looking out. Daniel had learned that a man can see farther on his knees than he can on his feet. Amen? You can see further on your knees than you can on your feet. Just like Jesse Dixon said in the song, he said, Lord, I can't even walk without your hope in my hand. Right, you gotta learn, we are nothing without God. We need God. So you can see further on your knees than you can on your feet. Amen. So he wasn't standing, he was kneeling on his knees with his windows open towards Jerusalem. It will help keep us heavenly minded in our times of testing, as it did Daniel. Then these men assembled and found Daniel. We're gonna just a couple more verses if y'all mind. All right, then if I get halfway through, then Lord willing, we'll finish next week. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Daniel refused to compromise. Even though he realized it might cost him his life, he refused to compromise. Many times, saints are not even in a life-threatening position, and they compromise. Amen. We should never compromise. He had to choose whether he was going to please man or obey God. Daniel remained faithful to his God and chose to obey him rather than please men. Alright? Then Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to what? Obey God rather than man. Anytime we know God has given us a edict, or God has given us a word, or God has given us a law and a commandment to do, and we don't do for God to please man, we are in violation. Amen? Anytime we do anything against God to please a man, we are in violation. Because we ought to always please God and not man. Alright? So like I said not too long ago, people said, well, the only reason I'm in this position is because I just don't want to lose anything. You already lost. You already lost. If you're doing something, anytime you do anything and it's pleasing the man, pleasing God, you lost. I don't care what the situation is. We should always please God. Don't ever compromise. Amen? Daniel had to choose between loyalty to his Lord and obedience to a sinful government commanding him to perform idolatry. And I just want to stop there. And you know, this is something we personally have to assess within our own souls. How many of us are actually practicing a form of idolatry? Idolatry is when you put anything before God. Anything before God is what? Idolatry. Right, so Daniel said, listen, my commitment, my devotion to God is so great, I won't put anything before God because that becomes an idol. Amen? We find ourselves in conflict with God because we won't make a stand for God. Amen? Make your stand for God. Right? So he is willing to risk his life for the Lord. How many of us are willing to risk our life for the Lord? We can say yes if we get it at test. Right? But this is something we really need to consider. Alright? Lord, trust in him for deliverance, even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been delivered years before. Making petition, asking supplication. This is all dealing with the prayer. Alright? Hebrews 4:16 said, let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace up in the time of need. That's what Daniel did. He realized it was in a time of need. And he refused not to pray. Amen. When we're tested, saints, it's time to pray. This is just a little more of this and we're finished. Daniel could have closed his windows or gone elsewhere to pray. Right? He could say, I'm going to pray. But he could have closed the windows or he could have went somewhere else in his house to pray. So people weren't seeing, but you know what he said? I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to maintain what I've always done. He did not close the windows, and he did not hide. Amen. It's like sometimes when people go out to eat, they when they time to say grace, they do not eat. Right? Amen. So one time we took a basketball team out. I don't think like 40 of us. I was somewhere in Massachusetts. All the guys sit down here. I said, y'all better put them forks down now. I said, I'm going to stand up and pray for all of us. I don't know how many of them closed their eyes, how many of them look around, but I know they put them forks down. Paul, you were with me then. And when we finished praying, those people said, oh, wow, we haven't seen that in a long time. we didn't see no grace. You know, I'm not ashamed of God. Man, we shouldn't be ashamed. There was about 40 of us. I got in the middle of all of us and prayed. Right? I'm not going to say, all right, y'all just put your hands down. No, I'm not ashamed wherever I go. Right? As good as God has been to me, why should I show God when he's been good to me? I don't care where I am, I'm going to pray. Amen. I go somewhere, I don't care if people are allowed to say, they don't pray, so excuse me, I got to pray. Right? We need to learn to be bold for God at all times. All right, let me just go ahead and try and finish this. All right. So Daniel could have closed his window and went somewhere else, but he didn't. Daniel knew that when a man feared the Lord, he did not have to fear man. Daniel looked away from his circumstances and instead chose to focus on his omnipotent God, who is strong enough and able to deliver it if it be his will. had peace of mind and refused to worry about the outcome of being faithful to his God. Daniel did not worry because the scripture said, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Can we say everything? Listen, we pray in something, but the scripture said everything. By prayer and supplication with, a lot of us pray, a lot of us supplicate, but we complain and murmur. We're supposed to do with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the Daniel had peace because he prayed. He supplicated. And the peace of God which passes, people look at you and say, how can you have peace with all you're going through? He says, I had a prayer meeting with my God. I had a little talk with Jesus. And he said, a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. So Daniel had peace of mind. He said, he will give us peace which passes all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Faithfulness in prayer gets Daniel in the lion's den and also delivers him. When you're faithful, you might look like you're in trouble, but stay faithful. Your faithfulness will get you in it, but God said, you've been faithful to me. I can't let you down, so I need you out of it. Think about this. Our faithfulness in prayer is what gets many of us into the lion's den. Amen. We'll stop here. So the reason I said we want to study Daniel, because Daniel had impeccable character. Daniel had integrity. Can you imagine being a non-citizen in another country and defying the law of that country because of your confidence and trust in God? None of us have those kind of problems like Daniel had, but it's so easy to compromise. Amen. And this is what we want to remember. If you're faithful to God, you're faithful whether somebody sees you or not. You know, like you deal with a lot of people that are caught up into addictions, pornography, and all this stuff. They'll sneak and look at it when nobody's looking at it. Listen, our sneaking, conniving, and scheming never gets past God. It might get past people, but it never get past God. Well, who knows how to deliver us? God. So we should be faithful to God. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's coming our way, stay faithful to God. If you have to lose everything to stay faithful to God, don't worry about it. Because everything you lose, God will give you that much more. How do we know? Look at Job. His latter year was blessed, greater than his father. Why? Because he held fast. He remained strong. See, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Job learned, amen, that he that hath clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. Don't compromise. Keep God first. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. Do we have any comments, any questions? Amen. Most of them are in the book. You have a question?
I got a question.
No, you can ask a question. That's what we hear. This is Bible study for question and answer.
I just want to add to it. Yeah. Great, brother. Amen.